Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 1st of April, recording at 10:23 p.m. British Standard Time. Well, now, you know my view that ever since the NASDAQ index had that upward dynamic, was last week on the 25th of March, I've been of the mind that we were going to get a technical rally in here from that oversold condition that stock markets had reached. And day by day, the news has continued to improve in terms of technical developments in these stock markets. I should say all technical developments. It's not the news that's coming out on the wires and so on. It's not the economic background. Now, today was really quite interesting in here because two of my favorite markets, which had been a concern of late because they had been sagging lower, were Thailand and India, and they both had good upward dynamics. You can see those charts up on the website, and as you probably know, if you've already read the comment, I've used the opportunity to add a little bit of my ISA money, my current ISA funds, and buy that Aberdeen New Thai Fund. That's the second purchase that I've made in recent weeks, and this one at a little bit better price. Incidentally, I didn't fool around and bid on that, having seen the upward dynamic, which I had done last time, and then wound up paying too high, and then it came back, so I hadn't timed it properly. But I just went in and bought it, and I think I paid 107.4 on the price. Now, Thailand and India are important because they were the big gainers among those Asian emerging markets last year. They were also the first to peak in January, and you can still see that evidence, the key day reversals on the charts that I've just posted if you haven't seen it plenty of times before. And although they were coming back on a more gradual basis than they had rallied, which made me feel that it was an overall consolidation, we hadn't had a good ending signal. That's not quite true. We had one with Thailand, I think it was last month, where we had a big upward dynamic and it rallied quite sharply, but then it eased back down to the same level and fractionally below before getting this upward dynamic. Now, so what? You might say these are just two emerging markets. What does it all mean? Well, as I say, it said a moment ago, they were leaders. It's important psychologically. Number of people had been talking them lower, as is inevitably the case when you get a market that's declining, and people are on the wrong side of the market. And we just look through the rest of Asia. There's nothing that's looking bad in here at the moment. And even Taiwan, where we had the disputed election, and that fell very sharply, but that's rebounded quite strongly. Japan remains steady. It's consolidating its gains overall. And that's impressive. My goodness, is it impressive. That Japanese second section index that I keep going on about has risen for 25 out of the last 26 days. I mean, that's absolutely, absolutely amazing. And European markets were really quite steady in here today. Some good gains, solid gains across the board. The best was the Swedish OMX index, up 2.25%. But we had the DAX index up 1.77. FTSE smaller gain, 0.57%. But this is solid, solid action really all around. And again, it will press more money back into the markets as people gain confidence. And remember, this is coming against the background of some pretty bearish comments by some people who were saying, that's it, the markets are going to go all the way back down. Now, you know my view overall, feeling that we're in the danger zone here as far as the overall trend for these stock markets are concerned, and that we've seen the best of the rally, but I have been optimistic that this wasn't the big one, this last sell-off, that we would see these markets push back up. Some of them would go to new highs, others would at least have a go at testing the highs, and maybe a little bit better than that. And if they continue to gain, then I'll, of course, start to lighten some of those positions. And not least where I've got the leveraged stakes in spread bet tax-efficient positions, and that ranges across everything from the Nikkei to the Hang Seng Index, which is a more recent purchase, to I've got a Newmont Mining position on a spread bet, and a couple of other shares as well. Okay, and Wall Street, how about Wall Street on the close today? Well, the Dow gave back its best gains. I think it was up around 40, 50 points at one stage and only closed up 15. But nevertheless, the S&P was up nearly 6 points. That's not bad, 0.5%. And remember, a lot of people are calling the S&P quite a bit lower now, but it doesn't look like it, or I'll put it this way, it's got to take out those lows that we saw last week, as I've said before. And the NASDAQ, this is really important because this has been such a leader overall, and that was up over 1% in here today, nearly 21 points on the NASDAQ Composite Index. So this rally is still intact. I don't expect it to go racing right back up to the highs and through. We'll get fits and starts in here, but again, as long as those lows that we saw last week hold, and give the upside sideways to higher the benefit of the doubt. Okay, what does that mean for other markets? Well, these bond markets are the real danger area. And let's read what Gav Cowell have said in that fine report that I posted today. And they're talking about a bond market crash. Well, maybe a little bit of hyperbole in that. But I've got short positions in those bond markets. I'll be interested to see what the JGBs do tomorrow, because they've had some, as you know, in the last few weeks, they've had some big hits on the downside, definite technical deterioration there. And following one of those hits, then they had a 4-day rally and then sold off again. Well, they've just had a 4-day rally now following the last big sell-off. And if this pattern remains very, very consistent, we'll see some selling pressure in there. But Anatol Kaletsky also mentioned, of course, his concern that if, as markets were all being pumped up together, they could all fall together quite rapidly. Well, I've aired these thoughts before, and a lot of people are going to be concerned about this. Those of you who, or those people out there who are dismissive of these arguments, are going to describe it all as wall of worry department. It's not just wall of worry department. When you get most asset classes moving up together, and that hasn't been happening the last few days, as you know, the bonds have been soft, and that was the case again today. But for the most part, in recent months, we've seen bonds moving up, we've seen stock markets moving up, we've seen commodity prices all moving up, and we know the reason for that. There's all that liquidity that's sloshing around in the system. But those, if they can all go up together, it does raise the question, can they all fall together? And the answer has to be, yes, of course they can. But the most vulnerable market there has, of those three asset classes, got to be the bonds and the government bonds. And I maintain this is an accident waiting to happen. And the moral hazard, people are expecting the Fed to keep rates low indefinitely. They're expecting the Japanese and the Chinese to go on buying these U.S. treasuries at an unprecedented rate while the U.S. government is borrowing at an unprecedented rate. As I've said before, you know, if those people need to borrow so much, do we really want to be lending to them? Well, people have been following the trend upwards, and that's never a bad idea. But you need to be, I think, aware of the big background, or, well, at least as I see it. And this is the end of we saw the end of an 18-year, approximately, secular bull market in government bonds last June. And we're now seeing preliminary evidence that they've completed a top extension phase. Now, I'm not aggressively short there. I think I've said before I wanted to have a toe in the water, and I've mostly been underwater in terms of the profit loss position. I'm a little bit ahead on the JGBs, a little bit behind in the U.S. Treasuries. But I know I've said from time to time that I'd let this top action play out and complete it, and then establish a downward trend, and that's when I would have much more aggressive shorts, whether that comes sooner or later. And I'm not sure when that will be. No one can be. There's no point in even guessing about it. Okay, moving on here. What about the currencies today? Well, the dollar sagged a little bit further against the Japanese yen, back down to 103.71. I'm shorting, opportunistic shorting of the yen against the dollar. When did I do that? Earlier in the week is looking a bit sad in the timing department, but I'll stick with that here for a little bit longer. But I'm certainly not feeling the urge to add to that position. But I'll give it a little bit more breathing space. Ditto the euro yen, not so hot, although that's pretty much unchanged in here today. The interesting one today was the euro dollar pushing up again. We're currently trading after hours here at 123.65. So again, continuing to edge up sterling, continuing to edge up against the US dollar. And needless to say, that's put an additional spark under some of the metals. Now, mixed performances, though. It was quite interesting. Gold, you know, which has been rock steady and rallying against all currencies, or certainly most of them, recently. Gold punched up to a new recovery high, pushed up over 431, 431.05, but then dropped back to 426.45. I didn't see any news on that to account for that, but maybe just a little bit of profit taking. But some of these other metals have packed in very, very well. I mean, silver has been absolutely sensational, trading after hours down a fraction from its high, but it was another new recovery high at $8.135. I mean, that's just been a meteoric rise. That's dominated the performance in the metals very recently. But good old palladium. Remember all those bad fundamental reports that were coming in? One of them had the caveat, but that the price would be much lower unless the funds got interested in palladium. Well, of course the funds are going to get interested in palladium if the other metals are all moving on the upside, and this had been a bargain basement candidate. So, but at any rate, palladium pushed above 300 here today. That's a chart breakout, and closed at 301.20. That triggered one of my little baby steps, sell orders on the way up, lightening the additional position, second of my two positions, additional positions that I picked up down in the lower 230s. And so I'm back down to my core position overall. I have it on a spread bet, incidentally. That's that UK tax-efficient trading system. No capital gains on that. You pay the big spread, so commissions are high. So palladium had to get to 300 for me to get my order, which was in at 297, fulfilled. I'll hold the core position here, and I should probably put in a trailing stop. I haven't done that yet. I'm usually very tight on stops, or use a lot of stops in other trades, but this one had been bouncing around so much that I hadn't done it. I'd been operating pretty much on, well, from time to time, on a baby steps basis. Okay, now what else to mention? In this metals department, I put up my metals page. The industrial metals were very powerful in here today. Tin, absolutely amazing, up to 8,940. Remember that one broke out and it's just run and run and run and accelerated, and it just paused for the smallest breather and pushed higher again. They were all firm in here today, and I hate to pay up for anything, and these things have been choppy, and I've been a bit concerned about the dollar. And you know, you read that GavCal thing and they're talking about all the dollar carry trade, in other words, all the dollars that have been borrowed for speculations and everything from property, I suppose to metals, and that eventually that would trigger an almighty rally in the dollar. And we, of course, saw it rally not too long ago. But this metal action is just so steady. I think I need to pick up more of these industrial metals. And it won't be tin, because that's just run too far, too fast. Some of the ones I've been looking at, nickel, well off its earlier highs. I probably won't pick up the aluminium because it's in a contango. But where we have the shortages, those include lead and the nickel that I just mentioned. And although that backwardation in the nickel has come in quite a bit, it's narrowed quite a bit, zinc does not have a backwardation. It's a laggard, but it's got a good chart. And according to the reports that I see, in an improving fundamental background, copper, I'll probably go for the copper first among these. And this is showing a. Again, these have all, as I say, all been in a consolidation phase, but nothing is breaking down out of these right now, and they're firming up within those patterns overall. A lot does depend on the dollar. If you think that the dollar is about to rally again, well, then you don't want to be buying these metals, although some of them can defy that correlation, indeed, and then some, because the really big story is the shortage of supply. You know, this is all in line with my supply inelasticity theme. Now, in the soft commodities area, certainly I got an email from one subscriber who phrased it very generously. He said that he was more lucky than I because his stop in corn had not been hit. You remember I had stopped out of that corn at a sort of a small profit. And a little annoying because then it turned right around and went back up, and I looked at the chart and said, you know, this was not a technical stop. I was too nervous on this. I'd pushed it up as I do on occasion, but there was no good reason other than my own anxieties to have done that. But anyway, this chap wrote in saying that he was more lucky than I because he hadn't been stopped out. Well, I say to him that this was not an issue of luck. He had used a technical stop, and of course, it done very well because this has rocketed higher corn. And you know, more power to you. I'm thrilled on your behalf. Now, I know some of you also have the soybeans, and they had a very good day today. Now, I remember yesterday, we had a bit of a plunge when the soybeans went below that $10 level, and that again a shakeout. We had another reasonably consistent sized correction, but actually it was slightly larger than the other corrections. Not enough to be an eyebrow raiser and to create a lot of anxiety in the markets. Although I looked at that and raised an eyebrow because it got within 11 cents of my stop, which was definitely a technical stop. In other words, I looked at the size of the last two or three reactions. This is a standard strategy of mine that I've taught for decades at the chart seminar. Look at the trend. If it's a powerful trend, you'll probably find a high degree of commonality in terms of the downward reactions against the trend. In other words, it'll be of a very similar size. And it's not because of any magic. People, if they're running a bull trend and then the trend starts to pause, they'll say, how far is it going to go down? Whether it's an intuitively felt question or one that they verbalize in discussions, and they'll say, well, what did it do last time? And if it went down, say, 10 ticks, whatever that is, and they say, well, what happened the time before that, and it had a similar size correction, then that immediately becomes normal in inverted commas. As far as the recent life of the trend is concerned. So they're not going to be too happy to sell below that level. They'll probably treat it as a buying opportunity if the trend is firm. And that's what happened in here with soybeans today, because they rebounded very, very strongly, closed up 34.5 cents here on the day at 10:29.5. And sometimes those settlements are a bit strange, because I was looking at it, it was sitting right at 10:34, another 5 cents higher, 4.5 cents higher, and then the final price finally came through, and it was marked down to the level I just mentioned at 10, or did I mention it 10:29.5? But it's a very good move on the upside, upward dynamic, and it's breaking the little downtrend consistency that we'd seen for about 5 or 6 days ever since soybeans had those that small key day reversal. Now, you know, I'd been saying that it, and I know most of you probably aren't interested in soybeans, but the tactics, I'm really talking tactics in here now. And you might remember me talking about the soybeans accelerating up. They've been up, I think, 12 days on the trot. And saying that really it was tempting to pull the position out, but I thought I'd probably ride it out with a trailing technical stop. Now, with hindsight, it would have paid. It did come back enough, so it would have paid to pull it out. And I think yesterday's action, when we had the tail on the chart, that was the first hint that that the sell-off had probably completed itself. But at any rate, the charity trade is still intact, so that's okay. Now, did I mention I bought? Well, no, I haven't bought it yet, but I'm buying that that fund managed by Tim Guinness. That's that energy fund that I've been talking about on innumerable occasions. And the fund will settle for a lower front-end load than that 5%. They'll bring that back to 3%. And I think that's pretty much it. Bottom line here, the stock market technical rally after this medium-term correction is still intact, and it looks like it's going to go higher. Have a great evening.